All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. We are joined by Kevin Williams again. Kevin, how are we doing today?
We are doing amazing. Fresh off a hard workout and thinking about this club of ours and what next, and just saw the funny thing about the Raiola vague reassurances about Holland that, you know, sound a lot like me back when I was single. We could probably maybe on Thursday. Yeah, darling. Okay. Sound like a date then.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on talking about any Erling Haaland news, because at this point I don't consider it news in relation to Barcelona. It's just it's wishful thinking. But hey, we don't need Erling Haaland. We have Aubameyang now. Let's talk about the January transfer window before we get into the. We actually have a fun result to talk about today, which is a nice change of pace for this podcast. But let's talk about the transfer window, because I want to hear your thoughts on it. What did you think about them choosing to prioritize the attack with Aubameyang and Traore and Ferran Torres versus any defensive strategy?
I didn't like it. Still don't. Results notwithstanding, those are early. I think that both goals, frankly, demonstrated the potential foolishness of that. Those goals were so easy. I mean, I've watched that Levy all season. It's rare to see them score goals or just that, like, you know, training ground, right? I didn't like the signings going in. I liked them after one match. But, I mean, remember that it's still early days. I mean, don't forget that, you know, for his first three matches, easy Abde looked a world beater. And then League of Defenders like, wait, he only has one move, and they, you know, cut that move off, and that was that, right? So we'll see.
What do you think about Adama Traore? Do you think he is enough to fend off Ousmane Dembele in the starting lineup? All the non-football stuff withstanding, that Barcelona continue to just digging their own grave with this Dembele situation. But football withstanding, is Traore enough to make Xavi keep them on the bench?
He is about one-tenth as talented. We already saw in the second half against Atleti how they resolved to get to him sooner, right as he got of the ball, and that was able to neutralize those runs, right? So his second half was much quieter than his first half. And, I mean, Liga defending is underrated. I mean, I think that La Liga has some of the best defenses in world football, and the defenders are intelligent, and they're quick, and they're quick to learn. And so, I mean, I would say that, you know, we won't know how Traore is until about four matches out, really. I think that what Traore does, he does exceptionally well. I think that what Dembele does, he does what Traore does, and then a little bit of what Aubameyang does, a little bit of what Torres does. He just, I mean, he's two-footed, runs like the wind. I mean, it's absurd. I mean, people who are saying Traore is a direct replacement, I don't know what sport they follow. He's not.
Yeah, I mean, the only direct replacement that he is a different type of athleticism, and that he's just jacked. That's pretty much the only reason people are saying
Yeah,
that.
It's odd, right? Because they think he's not like, he, first of all, Barcelona B did him a dirty by not developing his game, right? He did that one thing really well, and it worked for them. They thought, great, just keep doing that, son. You're awesome. And they didn't help him develop. And so when he went to the first team, it was like, hey, look, he just does one thing. Let's just shut that down. He left. Nuno helped him develop hugely. And now he's back in Barcelona, but he's a bit more well-rounded, but still basically has that one tool in his toolbox. And so he's a very interesting player. I think that he could be what they need if they can train the forwards to. Xavi should find any forward who doesn't make a near post run when Traore has the ball. just fine. 5,000 euros, bang. Next time, make the run. I mean, because he will get the ball into the box.
Let's talk a little bit about the match. So Barcelona, despite it being sloppy as all get out, it felt like some sort of classic Camp Nou game, just, and the fact that there were goals, right? The fact that it wasn't just like 1-0, it was exciting. Let's talk about Gavi. Just Gavi, go.
So he is a player. If Gavi wasn't playing for Barcelona, I would want to see him playing for Simeone. He is that kind of just like resolute, right? I don't know that he plays angry, but he certainly plays with fire. And he, I mean, the way that match was being called, none of his teammates were fully prepared for that. Gavi was like, hey, they're not calling anything, let's party. And he was, I mean, as a winger, he was not that exceptional in terms of what he did with the ball, but off the ball, the pressing, the energy. I mean, he's 17. I mean, dude, I don't know what you were doing at 17, but I'm pretty sure I was just like, you know, wow, girls, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So I think we've gone through this stage in the last 18 months where it was, wow, Fati, best teenager ever. Next 6 months, Pedri, best teenager ever. And now it might be Gavi. So when you look at the Barcelona trio of youngsters, yes, one and a half of them can't seem to stay healthy, the half of Pedri. Which one of them excites you the most for the future of Barcelona? If you had to pick one, if you had to.
Oh, Pedri. It's not even close. He's 19 going on 30. He has this... Someone asked me how to describe him, and I said fundamental. I mean, everything he does makes sense. He's always where he needs to be. He's always where his teammates need him to be. He's where the ball needs him to be. I mean, he's little, he's thin, he's moves like molasses. And you think, man, how is this guy always everywhere that he's supposed to be? He knows what to do with the ball. He's an incisive passer. I mean, his biggest problem now is Grandpa Busquets, where he can't really be liberated to do everything he needs to do because some of it is worried about keeping the back door shut when Gramps can't cover the counter.
As much as it pains me to say this, Grandpa Busquets is now what I will think of him as whenever I see him trot out onto the pitch. That's just perfect. So Dani Alves, speaking of another grandpa who actually still seems to have it a little bit, and I can't tell if he has it because we were lacking in the fullback so much that like we were just waiting for anyone with a heartbeat, but he was actually pretty good except for the red card that they're now appealing. What are your Dani Alves thoughts? It's weird watching him still like be able to do things, isn't it?
Yeah, he was my man of the match, and it was not because of what he did on the pitch, although he was decent, right? I mean, you could still see that whenever his man was determined to actually run full speed, that he was like, oh, but he brought those intangibles, right? I mean, he is a player, you know, we talk about the value of players who've been there, right? And that's underrated, right? Xavi brought him back because of matches like that, and that intangible quality that he brings, and he knows what to do, and there's a lot to knowing what to do in that, you know, frankly very wacko Alves way, right? I mean, I thought he was wonderful in terms of what he brought to the match, mostly from a non-footballing aspect.
Yeah, 100% agree. So now Barcelona sits fourth in the Liga table with a match in hand. They could theoretically be third in the table over Betis once they're equal on matches. Of course, we have a derby this weekend. What is the thing you will be looking for as Barcelona head into the Espanyol match this weekend?
Their ability to be able to finish a match. Mm-hmm. They, in the second half, I mean, I appreciate that you said they were kind of sloppy against that. Like, I didn't think they played very well. I thought they played effectively at key moments. But when Simeone made that lineup and second half formation change, I mean, Barca was hanging off with dear life. And so I think they still can't finish matches. They are still running into shape in terms as regards knowing what to do with Frenkie de Jong, who, by the way, had one of his best matches of the season. At the same time, Busquets had one of his worst. Whether that's a correlation, I will leave to your listeners, but I think it is. Because the faster things move, the better De Jong is, and the faster things move, the worse Busquets is. So, I mean, I would be looking for them to gel, finish matches, and figure out what exactly to do with Frenkie De Jong.
Yeah, and I know this match is a week away, but how do you envision Barcelona matching up with Napoli?
Not very well. you know, I think that, I mean, the flanks are going to be a perpetual worry, right? Because, I mean, don't forget they left all this off of the Europa League list. So your fullbacks are Jordi Alba, who in big matches has all the backbone of a lower in vertebrate. And then on the right, you've got Dest and wait, huh, what? Mingesa. If Napoli don't load up their attacks on the flanks, they're insane. And then once you get to the flanks, you'll have let's say you've got Garcia and then Arulo, right? You've got one half defenders there. Right. I mean, you've got one who can shape a lovely ball, but is not that good at defending. So, I mean, match control is going to be huge for Barcelona. I mean, if they can work at like 70% possession, they'll have a chance.
I know we talked about Traoré already. I want to hear your thoughts on Ferran Torres.
He's still not match fit. I mean, don't forget he came to us slightly gimpy, and he's just now gotten back to, you know, training full speed and playing matches. I love how he uses space. He is a very intelligent player in that regard. It seems like he pops up in places where he's able to get shots off, but if you watch his movement, he is really adept at reading defenders and finding slots, sort of like Luis Suarez used to be, right? I mean, can he score enough goals? I don't know yet. He certainly has a good shot. I think he was overpriced at what the club paid, especially considering that City then went around and spent two-thirds less for a player who's going to end up being better in 2 or 3 years. so they sort of saw Barcelona coming there, as most clubs usually do, all kinds of transfers. So, I mean, I think the jury is still out. He has the potential to be exactly what the club needs. And if they weren't stupid enough to jettison Dembélé, they wouldn't need to spend the Haaland money, right? Because if you, let's say Traoré works out to be reasonable enough where the club keeps him, then you have Traoré and you have Dembélé flanking Torres. That's a pretty exceptional front three. And that front three is going to put goals in. You add Fati, maybe. I mean, let's not forget to interject a sad note. We don't know how he's going to come back from this injury. You know, it breaks my heart that a player that young has already had to go through as much as he's had to go through, and we just don't know what is going to happen with him. But if he comes back anything like he left, I mean, that attack would have been set for the next decade. But
you're forgetting about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I'm not sure why you didn't mention his
name. He has a reason for that. I mean, I think he's short-term. I think he'll finish off this season and probably hang around next at some reduced wage. But, I mean, he is functionally a temp, right? I mean, he'll be useful this year. He moves well. He'll be able to bang in a few goals. But I think that what will be interesting for me is whether Xavi will one match try him and Torres. That'll be fun. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Torres is really promising. He was overpriced, but that was the reality of what the club had to do. And we'll see.
Let me ask you a question. Does it say more about Barcelona or Philippe Coutinho that anytime he's at a club, not Barcelona, whether it's Bayern Munich, Liverpool, or Aston Villa now, that he's excellent, and as soon as he's at Barcelona, he's horrible? Who does that say more about?
Both. I think that so much of athletics is mental. When Coutinho went to Villa and, you know, start rocking the world, I joked on Twitter, it's amazing what leaving a toxic work environment can do for a worker, right? And people were like, right, bark, 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 bark. But the reality is, I mean, Barcelona is a toxic work environment. It truly is. I mean, the fan base, the entorno, the media outlets, it is a toxic work environment. And if you are a confidence-based player, I mean, how the hell are you going to work in that kind of environment? And so you go to Villa, yay, we love you, welcome, right? And he responds, you know, I mean, you can kick a mule all you want, but sometimes it's just not going to pull that cart.
And this is why I, as a fan of watching Ousmane Dembele play, want him to leave Barcelona. As much as I would love to watch him succeed at Barcelona for the next 10 years, I want to watch him succeed somewhere. Yes. And I just don't think that's going to happen at the club at this point. And so I'm excited for his version of going to an Aston Villa or whatever that looks like to see him probably succeed. And we're going to be like, wow, why couldn't this have happened to Barcelona? And then we're going to remember this happens to a lot of players at Barcelona.
It absolutely does. I mean, it happened to Gomes. It has happened to Griezmann. And some of it is, I mean, people always say, oh, we're a hard club to play for. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, we don't have to beat people up. I mean, the shame about Dembele is he finally got a manager who believed him. He finally got a manager who was finally going to use him in the way that he should have been being used all along, right? Rather than, hey, stay on the wing and like be smart with the ball and, you know, play like some must see a kid named Jordy. That's not his game. His game is running with the ball, taking risks. Yeah, he's gonna lose balls, duh. And so Xavi to finally have committed to that and then to have the, you know, club with its behavior blow everything up. I mean, yeah, let's not kid ourselves. Dembele and his agent messed up. They overplayed their hand. But for the club to, you know, do all that stuff, I'm going to send you to the stands, I'm going to, you know, strap you on a rocket and send you to Mars. It's like, come on, right? I mean, there's a way, you know, with PSG and their crown jewel, right? I mean, he's leaving out of Bosman, and they're just like, yeah, business as usual. Every team either has a major player leaving on a free. Barcelona is the only one that is treating that player as they are treating Dembele. The only one. It's wrong. It's fundamentally wrong.
And it's going to come back to bite them with future players' considerations for the club. It just will.
Yes, because we should remember that the Bosman now is the only realistic way for a player to find a way out of a club and assure that they're going to get a nice salary at the next club. Don't forget that. I mean, the list of top players on a Bosman this summer is unbelievable, and it's all because clubs aren't letting players move, right? I mean, don't when, you know, Tagliafico wanted to leave Barcelona, they had the price too high. And so it didn't happen, and the player was angry about it. So, I mean, I think that as more players leave on free transfers, yeah, I mean, the way that the way Dembélé has been treated, people will remember that. There's no question about that. That's a shame.
Yeah. So as we wrap up, I want to talk to you about Xavi. So obviously we're coming off the biggest win of the Xavi era so far. A lot of that was due to Atletico Madrid's sloppiness as much as it was. Yes, Barcelona did take advantage of opportunities. Like, I'm not going to discredit them for that, but I'm also not going to act like they just won the Champions League. But it vaulted them into the top four, which I think all of us, that's the only thing we want this year, is we want a top four finish. What have been your impressions of the Xavi era thus far? As hard as it is to get an impression, given the fact that he doesn't have his, you know, his full suite of players in there and all that stuff.
Learning on the job. He is weak in match management. Many of his subs don't make a lot of sense. Like when Xavi makes a sub and you think, why is he doing that? And then the sub comes on and you finish with it. Yeah, I don't see why he did that. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that Valverde really excelled at was match management, right? Making changes that made the team better. Xavi still hasn't gotten the hang of that, and I think that will come back to bite him in key matches. Heck, it did against Benfica when they had to get a result. So he's, but he's learning on the job, right? I mean, this is his first European club. And, you know, I think it's fairly easy to forget how difficult it is to come from the PSG of a Qatar, right, into a, you know, theoretically bankrupt club that has to scrounge for free transfers to fill a lineup out. I mean, he's got a lot of work on his hands. Next year, he'll be much better than this year.
Cool. So what have you been working on? Just, we're done with the Barcelona talk. What has Kevin been writing? Kind of what have you been interested in recently? Just give us a synopsis.
So I've got a draft of a piece on the new principles, Barcelona money bags worked up. That's frankly filled with more bile than I'm comfortable publishing. So I'm going to revise it because I'm pretty angry about that. And been working on a, you know, big life shift and moving to Portugal and, you know, just lifting, riding, training, loving my day job, having a great time.
There you go. That's awesome. Maybe when you're in Portugal, you can find us the next great player that can stay healthy and not leave Barcelona on a free transfer. That would be great. So, Kevin, as always, thank you for joining us. We will be sure to chat soon and enjoy the derby this weekend.
Thanks, you too.